And we have studied the book of Revelation several times, and so we're not going to do that tonight, but we are going to do something a little different. I have a question, and the question is, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? I'm going to start off with 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, when Paul addresses it and says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's a promise that most of us are aware of and have spent time thinking about. We've studied the book of Revelation together several times, and most of us know that the next event in biblical history involves the church and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what specifically do you know about it? It will happen. Will it happen during the daytime or during the night?
Nobody knows.
Ah, we're wrong. They're wrong there. It will happen. One thing is, there is no night in heaven.
That's true.
And so he will come back in the daytime. So, will Christ be the one doing the shouting, or will the archangel be the one who shouts? And what will he be saying? Will he be calling you by name, or will he just give a general invitation to join him and the Lord? And then another question, you see all kinds of movies around, you know, and things. What will you be wearing when you travel into the clouds to be with Jesus?
Nothing.
Oh, that's not right. That's not right. So you see, we have a general idea of how everything's going to work and how things are going to take place. But we need to go into some specifics, and that's what I wanted us to do tonight. And that's why I asked the question, what are we waiting for? Can you tell me how this is going to work? Our opening verses were penned by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians as an answer to concerns that they had about the second coming of Jesus for his church. False teachers had come in and were telling them that the people that had died already were going to miss the event. And he had the people pretty upset because the people they cared about their loved ones and things. And so Paul wrote this passage in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians to help resolve some of the questions that the people had. And because what the false teachers were telling them was not true, and they were trying to take advantage of the Christian people. So I think it would be good for us to revisit this event based upon what we can learn from Scripture. John gives us the most information in the book of Revelation, so we're going to start there in chapter 1. It tells of the beginning of John's vision. And chapters 2 and 3 are part of the letters to the seven churches of Asia. We are all familiar with them. Then we come to chapter 4, and so I would like to read the first two verses of chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Revelation says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." We're told that the Spirit hath not flesh and blood. So John was out of body for this vision that he was having. John tells us that the first voice was a trumpet talking with him, and John was to be shown the things that were to be after the rapture. John tells us that he first saw a throne set in heaven with someone sitting on the throne. And that was John and his vision with Jesus. We want to go back before this time to a time that we will experience. One thing that must be taken into consideration is the fact that there will be several resurrections. Now, a lot of you may not realize that, but there will be several resurrections. There have already been at least one. And we'll read about that one in just a few minutes. But let's look at them one at a time. The second resurrection will be the dead in Christ. And we're told about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 52, we are told that the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised immortal, and so they shall be given immortal bodies. And at that time, we will also be changed. We too shall be given immortal bodies. But that's the resurrection of the dead at the rapture. At the rapture. When Christ comes back for his church. And that would explain the shedding of the street clothes, since they are not immortal. Our clothes wear out. They get holes in them. So that would not be a proper outfit for going into eternity. And at this point, we would be covered by Jesus' righteousness. And that is referred to as a white robe. So we will have passed through the veil, and death will no longer be an option for us. We will have overcome death. No longer will we be expecting once to die, but we do have to experience judgment by Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat. And it will happen at the time that we meet Jesus in the air. We will become part of heaven's population. Based upon verse 34 through 37, we will be victorious over sin and death. A lot of people wonder when the Bema Seat judgment might take place. It happens at death. That's when we meet Christ, and that's when he will take account of us as to how we have lived our life and what we have done and what we have not done. And that is also the time that he will give us the rewards, if there are rewards coming. And that is called the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. And it happens when we leave this life and enter into a life of eternity. So, he comes back for the rest of his church. We are told that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed into immortal bodies to meet the Lord in the air. We will be with the Lord from that time on. We are to comfort one another with that thought. So we are at the same place that the members of the early church were, just in reverse. We are seeing Jesus appear in the clouds, and the clouds will give up Jesus to take care of all those who see him coming in the clouds. So this is what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the trumpet of the Lord to sound. Then we will see Jesus in daytime, for there is no night in heaven, and Jesus is coming from heaven. So we should be watching during the daytime. We should be listening for the trumpet of the Lord to sound, to get our attention and to begin the process of judgment, which will be done in a second, but will cover everything we have ever done. Our entire life will be judged in an instant. So let's review what is to take place. There was an earlier resurrection of the dead Jewish believers. It is recorded in Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. Turn there, if you will. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. This took place after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead the third day after his crucifixion. Matthew 27, 52 and 53 said, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So the Old Testament saints were raised at Jesus' resurrection. There will be another time of resurrection for the Old Testament saints. We'll see that in chapter 20 of Revelation, which we will look at a little bit later. So do you understand that when Jesus rose from the dead, the Old Testament saints rose with him? That's what we are told in those two verses, 52 and 53. We know that there will be the sound of a trumpet. Then the dead in Christ will rise with immortal bodies. Then the living will be changed into mortal bodies. Excuse me. Then we will all meet Jesus in the air. He will not be coming to the earth at that time. We will never depart from him. That's what we are told. So far there has been two resurrections. And this, and that was the Jewish dead in Christ, and then the resurrection we will experience at the rapture of the church. They will be in heaven during the time of the church age and the tribulation on earth. That will be 7 years of pure chaos. Then the return of Jesus with his army to destroy all evil upon the earth as he comes from heaven with all of the saints. There's another resurrection mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. So turn there if you would, please. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Which will be those who die during the tribulation period. Those will be Jews and Gentiles. They are resurrected to reign with Jesus during the millennial reign of Christ. So I would ask you, what are you going to be doing while you are waiting for the return of Jesus for his church? Anybody got any ideas?
What would we be doing? We still looking at you, but call it up to heaven.
That's right. We have a job to do. We're to be telling others about him and making them aware. That's what the early church did. The early church did a lot of preaching about the second coming of Christ. Paul thought that he was going to see it in his day, but he did not. And that was 2,000 years ago. So I don't know whether we have another 2,000 years or if we got 20 minutes. But he could come at any time. And the one event that we have not talked much about is the millennial reign of Jesus here on earth. So let's look into that this evening a little bit. As we begin, I must tell you that the word millennial or millennium is not in the Bible. The word millennium is a man-made word. It means a thousand. And so we talk about the millennial reign of Jesus, and we know that he will reign here on this earth for 1,000 years once the great tribulation is over. When he has destroyed all evil, when he has destroyed death, when he has destroyed all these, anything that is bad, he will destroy. He is coming to destroy that. And so we are told that an angel brings a key to hell and a great chain from heaven with which to bind Satan. We are told that his angel lays hold on Satan and binds him for 1,000 years in hell. He sets some kind of seal upon him that he cannot cross and he cannot pass, so he must remain in hell for the next 1,000 years. We're told at this point that he will be released for a short time at the end of the 1,000 years. And that should be a warning to those who come through the 1,000 years to look out for his deception at the end of the 1,000 years. What will take place during that 1,000 years? Well,
Everybody will be getting along during 1,000 years.
We are going to reign with him. We are told that we are going to reign over the people of the earth. And when he comes, there will probably be children born to families. Families will grow during that 1,000 years. There will be no death. The lion will lay down with the lamb, and there'll be no disease or pain or anything like that. And so we will live with him for 1,000 years here on the earth, and there will be people born during that 1,000 years, and I'll explain why in just a minute or two. All the people who were never born again will be judged for their sin at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Those who experience the resurrection at the rapture will all reign with Jesus and occupy the thrones that John saw. Did we look at Revelation chapter 20? Let me get there. There we are. And in Revelation 20, it says Satan is, and when the 1,000 years are expired, beginning at verse 7 of chapter 20, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of them which is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, there are people that are going to go through this millennial reign of Christ who will never be tempted, because there will be no temptation during that 1,000 years.
I've got a question to ask you. Okay, it says Gog and Magog. So Gog, one must be Russia?
Gog and Magog are both Russia.
They're both Russia?
Yes. One is the city of Moscow, and the other is the country of Russia. The people of Russia.
So Russia will be fighting each other?
Russia is coming down from the north to get involved in the battle of surrounding Jerusalem. Oh. That's where all of the saints will be with Christ, will be in Jerusalem. You and I will be there. If you've never been to the Holy Land, you'll make it. And the entire evil world comes against the saints of Christ. But God destroys them. God destroys them all. And that's when the millennial reign of Christ begins, is after they have all been destroyed. That's when we will occupy the thrones. I was trying to think of it. John was saying, oh, yes, if you go back to verse 4 of verse 20, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Some of these people are the people who came through the great tribulation, because it talks about their having the mark of the beast put upon them. So there will be those people in addition to us, who are the saints that will be raptured with the dead in Christ. And so we will all be reigning with him, but there will be some who have never been tempted, and the devil will be loosed to tempt them, and he will tempt them, and they will turn to him, they will follow him, they will be deceived, and they will also be destroyed and cast into the lake of fire along with the devil. Everybody understand that? So we've had two resurrections so far. The one of the Old Testament saints, when Christ arose from the dead, the third day after his crucifixion. Those saints are talked about in chapter 27 of Matthew, verses 52 and 53. Then there will be the resurrection of the saints when the Lord comes back for his church. That'll be the dead saints and the living saints. That'll be you and I if we're still around. And that will be the second resurrection. So, next, John sees thrones in heaven. We're not told how many, just that John saw thrones in heaven, many of them. Those thrones are for the people who have been faithful to Jesus during the tribulation period. We are told that these people will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. These people will be the faithful ones, and the people that are not faithful to Jesus will not live again until the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years. There will be another resurrection, a resurrection of the damned. They will stand judgment before the great white throne judgment, in the great white throne judgment. So that's a third resurrection. At the end of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, Satan's going to be turned loose to tempt those who have never experienced temptation, and they will yield to the temptation and be deceived. They will be gathered with the army of Satan, and they will attack the saints gathered in Jerusalem in one final battle to determine the victor of good and evil. Fire will come down from heaven and will devour them, and Jesus will be victorious. The devil will be thrown into the lake of fire where the political beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented forever and ever. The fact that the scripture tells us that's where they are, they have not been annihilated, they have not ceased to exist. They are still in that lake of fire being tormented. And that's where all of the people who do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity. Now we come to the time of the great white throne judgment. Each person will be judged for the evil and sin that they've committed and will be assigned a place in the lake of fire. That will be determined by what is found in the book of life. If their name is not there, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, that one of the things I want to assure each person of now, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will not be at this great white throne judgment. You'll be with Christ. And then in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, it tells us, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." As Baptists, we teach once saved, always saved. Now, I ran into a preacher out at the fair who did not believe that. And he was being very loud, very talkative, very boisterous. And what is a Christian supposed to do in a case like that?
The arguing won't do any good.
Arguing is not the answer.
Arguing will do it. Pray for him. Pray for his soul.
Speak the truth just as loud as they are speaking.
Show them in Scripture.
Well, I kept asking him, give me Scripture for that, give me Scripture for that, and he couldn't do that. But
I can show you my Scripture that I believe.
All right. So, there will be three resurrections. There's been one when Christ rose from the grave. There will be a second one when you and I and the dead in Christ are raptured out. And then there will be a third resurrection, the resurrection of the damned, at the great white throne judgment. So does everybody understand that?
Pastor, that takes place at the end of 1,000 years.
Yes, that takes place at the end of 1,000 years. So what do we have? What are we waiting for? We are waiting for 1,000 years.
Yes, we're waiting for 1,000 years.
And the 7 years of tribulation. We will be with the Lord in heaven during those 7 years of tribulation. But I just want to make sure that everyone understands how that works and how it's going to work. We are going to spend eternity with Christ once we are raptured out of this life. We will be clothed. We will not be unclothed. We will be clothed in the Christ's righteousness. And so that is the blessing, and that is what we are waiting for. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. What's holding him up?
He's waiting for more to get saved.
No.
We're waiting for us to continue.
There is one person, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who has not been saved yet.
Satan?
No, he's not going to be saved by any means. There's one person, and when that person gets saved, that is when the rapture will take place.
Oh, okay. So there's somebody out there, guys.
There's somebody out there waiting to hear. Yeah. That's why we should be out there telling people.
Yeah. That might be my witness.
What if you're talking to that person?
Yeah.
When the rapture occurs, imagine that.
Yeah.
Suddenly you look up and there's the Lord in the air, coming in the air for you.
You could witness to that one person. That would be so awesome.
All right. Okay. We have a closing song. I know it's not been very long.
Pastor,
message.
Just real quick, I have a question.
Yes.
So there's nothing like prophecy that has not been fulfilled yet, correct? The Bible tells us.
That's correct.
Everything was just waiting like
he said. Paul phrased it, "I would not have you be ignorant," when he started to address, both in Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 52, and in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 4. And he does not want us to be ignorant of the fact that the Lord is coming back. There is nothing preventing him from coming back, but except for that one person, wherever they are. They could be in China, they could be in India, they could be anywhere in the world.
Or not have been born yet.
They may not have been born yet, right. You're right.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yep, I would love to be that person that
would
be to that person.
So, we are to be looking for the Lord. The early church was looking for the Lord. They expected him to come back in their time. Paul thought that he would, but he did not. And here we are 2,000 years later, still looking for the Lord. We're looking around us at all the things going on and thinking that it's got to be getting close.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and sing our last song.
Turning in hymns to 312. Only Trusted. 312. We'll sing all four verses. Four, 312.